Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tom Jennings Audio Archives. My name's Tom Jennings. I am a music writer for the Niagara Gazette in Niagara Falls, New York. This week, we bring you an interview from the archives from David Cassidy, former member of the Partridge Family, and of course, a recording artist and actor, and so many other things. David just passed away recently, and so we went back into the archives to revisit this interview, and in retrospect, it takes on a very interesting tone. Around the time of this interview, David had been in some legal trouble and in the tabloids for some DWIs and other things. And you can sort of tell at the beginning of the interview that he was a little bit guarded, but eventually he lightens up as we strictly focused on his music career and didn't get into any of the tabloid fodder or any of the other salacious things that maybe some other interviewers would try to get out of him. The most poignant part of the interview in my mind was when we get to talking about his mother, the late Evelyn Ward. Now, many people know of David's famous stepmother, Shirley Jones, from the Partridge Family, and of course his famous stepbrother, Sean, who was the child of his father and Shirley Jones, so Sean being his half-brother. But not a lot has been written about or spoken about his mom, Evelyn Ward, who was dealing with dementia by the time that she died. And when David talks about it, you can really hear the emotion and in his voice when he talks about it. And the way the interview wraps up, it's really kind of special. Anyhow, I hope you enjoy it. We've got some more interviews coming up over the next few weeks. If you have any questions, please send me an email at thom@caroniamediagroup.com. That's thom@caroniamediagroup.com. If you're interested in sponsoring these podcasts or just have requests from the archives. In the meantime, I hope you enjoy an interview with the late David Cassidy.
If we could, I mean, really the focus of this, since it is to promote the music piece, I'm just really going to focus on that. I think there's so many questions that you get asked with regard to your tenure with the Partridge Family and everything like that. But
Yeah, and for lots of different reasons, not just that, but, you know, I've been very blessed to have had a long and really satisfying and articulating myself as much as I can about my own drive and hunger for what I do. I love to play. You know, I began as an actor, which most people forgot. My first professional job, I was on Broadway, and then I was flown out to L.A. to do, you know, TV and get a got an agent and did a bunch of dramatic shows, etc. But as I was doing leads in these, you know, like Bonanza and Mod Squad and all of those hour shows, I did the pilot at the end of the year, which is when they're usually done, when the shooting was completed on the hour shows. I got the pilot, and kind of the rest is history, but I had the opportunity to work with some of the greatest musicians, songwriters, and I began recording just before my 20th birthday. And, you know, the show became a gigantic hit on television, but a lot of people don't realize that I Think I Love You was a huge hit right before it aired. And the first album, second album, third album all went triple platinum plus, which was unheard of in those days, you know. So I'm blessed to have had, obviously, a very loyal and fantastic bunch of fans of mine everywhere around the planet. And, you know, the impact I was able to have on a couple of generations, I think, does not in any way, it hasn't lessened. I'm more appreciative of it now than I ever was. But I think that's true about age. you know, we appreciate things a lot more in your 60s than you do in your 20s, you know. I think life experience does that for us.
Well, and you must be in a better position, too, to appreciate the live performance, because from everything I've read and whatnot, it was pretty hectic to the point where you had to give up touring, you know?
Oh, yeah. It was insane. It wasn't even pretty hectic. It was out of control. But that was the age of the innocence still. And, you know, through the 70s, I think as our culture and television became 5 or 6 channels, it went to 260 channels. You know, it's grown in such a way. And people have become so much more sophisticated and educated due to the media a lot. And a lot has to do with television. I think it's really a double-edged sword with social media. There's no question there are benefits to it, but it allows people who are disgruntled, unhappy, you know, people that are basically angry with life and unhappy with themselves, gives them an opportunity just to go off on people. And we've become, unfortunately, so celebrity obsessed, you know. I think that's really kind of tragic, and there's a lot of bad stuff that occurs in terms of using the internet, be it child pornography or anything else that you want to pick. However, I maintain what I've always maintained about life is, you know, I love what I get to do. I've tried to spread that for as long as I've been performing and in life. Even before that, I'm a pretty caring, loving person, and I shall remain the same. You know, I'm very grateful, and that's one of my mottos every day. Thank you, God. I'm very grateful. And I get to do what I love to do and do it basically since I was 19 years old, and that very, very few artists get a chance to do. And, you know, other than, you know, working in the theater and working in Las Vegas, I produced a couple of movies, TV, and created a television series and a network TV show, and, you know, did 6 years, almost 2,000 shows in Las Vegas. You know, my life has really flourished in so many areas creatively. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to get to do what you love to do for a living.
Yeah, and you know, if we could go back to like that the beginning of the music piece, I'm just curious, who is maybe the greater influence at the front end? Was it that Ed Sullivan Beatles appearance, or was it the seeing the Jimi Hendrix in concert? Because I think in some ways both of those were very formative moments for you in your youth.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I was fortunate enough to be a teenager. I was 13 when the Beatles broke on it, and I saw them on Ed Sullivan. And the next day, I went out and bought my mom bought me an expensive electric guitar, and it just sort of had such an enormous impact on me, because we're so influenced by it, almost like you're a blank screen, and when the imprint is that heavy and that strong, you know, you never forget it. And I got to know John quite well and became friends with he and also with Yoko, and later on after I had my own success. But I drew from everybody. I was always into blues, and I was always into pop and rock and blues, but I grew up with my mom and dad, who were in the theater, and I had an early background of, you know, Cole Porter and Gershwin, and, you know, some of the greats of songwriters, and, you know, I have that in the back of my brain always, and I'll never forget it. And my dad talked a lot in my early days when I would see him, because he was quite a music man and such a great singer. I mean, people don't even realize, unless you saw him on Broadway, he was a tremendous singer. Irish tenor and could belt with the best of them. So I had that to, as a foundation, which is pretty damn good, you know. And then my own influences as a teenager, and it, a lot of it molded me, but I'm, you know, appreciative of great work, irregardless, be it classical or jazz. But for me, mostly, it's, to be honest, I'm more of a, you know, when I play guitar, I pick my guitar up, I just instantly start playing bluesy stuff as opposed to what people would assume. And I usually try and throw a track of something that had a big influence on me in my teen years. It's, you know, a great B.B. King song, and I loved him. Hendrix, Clapton, B.B. King, those are my three. Jeff Beck. And, you know, I just found them all so remarkable. And I think they're still people's heroes that two generations later, or three, however you want to define it, I think they're still the guys. And they had the heaviest influence on all guitar players and everywhere. But I'm going to do all my hits. And some of my favorite songs I recorded both in the Partridge Family from all of those records and my own solo stuff. And it's, you know, my shows are really a celebration of the music and the decades and the influences on me and obviously that I've had on my fans.
Yeah, I got to see you in 2012 at a venue called the Bear's Den out here in, you know, Niagara Falls, which is the Buffalo area. And I just, you know, I guess the part that amazed me the most is how well you can connect on an intimate level to the fans, which again must have been lost during that first run, because the first run just had to be pure mayhem, and it just feels you know, you're like really just this, even the, just talking back to people, shouting things out, but you just look like you really are at ease and at a great point in your career musically.
There's no question. I've never enjoyed it more, and you know, when you're dealing with young teenagers and they're screaming through the whole thing, they just are, as we know, and it's been true, I think, about every generation, their emotions, particularly females, but now, you know, it's, I don't know, I've said this many times, but, you know, the reaction is fantastic. I love to connect with them. It gives them insight as to who I am, and I get insight into who they are, and each night is different. I don't have any set dialogue or pattern that I do, and I try and make it like it's the first time, and for a lot of people it might be. So I bear that in mind. I think I would get bored if I had a set list of funny quips or amusing little ditties, dittos. It just wouldn't make me inspired. And this way, I go out, I don't know what I'm going to say, I don't know what the audience reaction other than, I guess they're having. And usually it's extremely high energy. And, you know, I just take people on a journey of my life and certainly some of theirs.
Yeah, as I said, I mean, I grew up on, I'm 49, so I grew up with the Partridge Family. I mean, I love music, and I've covered it for so many years now, and I get to interview great people like you. It's amazing when you look back on all those things and how important certain songs are. And I guess, you know, like in my personal story is I just remember my sisters buying all the albums, and really the Partridge Family albums were the first albums that I ever held and looked at and scratched up and everything, and it's still cool to hear those songs. I mean, they're great songs.
Yeah, great songwriters. I learned so much. I soaked it up like a sponge. I really did. A lot of people don't realize I worked all day on the TV show, and then I would drive over the hill with no dinner, and he'd have a sandwich or something waiting for me, and we'd start recording virtually, oh, I don't know, I'd say 6 months out of the year, I'd be in the studio recording after work. So there were long, long days and nights for me, and on weekends I'd go out and I'd do four shows, you know, a matinee and an evening. And then on Sunday night, after the second show, I would fly back to L.A. no matter where I was. And then during the hiatus period, I'd go on the road for long periods of time. I don't do that anymore and don't want to tour like that. I love going out and doing, like, weekends, you know. It's a lot more enjoyable, and it's a lot less stress and strain on my body and my brain. And, you know, I love to work. I just don't want to get into a situation where it's exhausting, you know, too much so that you stop enjoying it. I don't want to do that. And quite frankly, I'm too old to be doing that.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of your contemporaries, I mean, their vocal cords have just suffered innumerable damage from whatever. But boy,
yeah,
you know, you're still singing very powerfully. I mean, you really haven't lost anything.
Yeah, well, I'm really fortunate. I think a lot of it has come from building it up, strength and strength and strength, performing night after night after night. You know, I don't know exactly, but it was about 6-7 years that I sang 8 shows a week or 10 shows a week, 50 weeks a year. And when you have to build your body up, any part of your body up, but particularly your voice, a lot of times I'd have to go on vocal silence. And there are times when I come back from certain environments where I'm flying really dry, not good for singers. And, you know, cold, dry air is not good. So I have to sometimes just say, sorry, I can't talk today. And, you know, give it a chance to rest if you're going out doing one show after another and you have to travel in between, like I'm doing this weekend. But it's great because when you don't do shows every single night, you can appreciate the ones that you're in and have as much energy as you possibly can muster. And it's just no mental fatigue with it. It's like, oh, here's a great new place. Or if I played there before, it's because I wanted to come back and play those venues again, because I love the venue. But I'm really looking forward to doing it. It's Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Let them know and come one, come all.
Yeah, we definitely will. I know you're busy, so I'll throw just off
a
couple.
I got a roll, actually.
Just one quick question, if I could.
Sure.
A lot of people, I mean, everybody knows about, you know, your father and everything, and, of course, your stepmother as well. And I know fairly recently you lost your mom.
Yeah, I did.
And my heart goes out to you. I mean, maybe you could just talk a little bit about, I wanted to make sure that we spent a little time, especially in this feature, just maybe talking about your mom and you know, what she meant to you.
Yeah, well, she was a wonderful woman and very loving and caring. She had to struggle when I was a little boy. My mom and dad split up, and we moved in with my grandparents, and my mom had to earn a living because my grandfather didn't. I mean, he worked for the public service, which means he read meters. So his pension was minimal. So she had to support me, and she was on the road quite a lot. She was on Broadway a number of times. I think 15 or 20 different shows she did, from being the chorus to having leads on Broadway. And mostly her kindness and her loving support of me and seeing what I wanted to do. She wasn't strict, but she was firm and knew she had kind of a wild boy. Even though I wasn't a bad guy, I was still pretty wild, you know. And it was the era that had a lot to do with it, you know. When you're growing up in L.A. in the 60s, swinging 60s, as a teenager, it's just, it was an amazing time to be alive and to be conscious. And I think she she gave everything she could in terms of her care and lovingness. And she was very frustrated, and she never really became a big success, but was very proud of me. And I would take her with me occasionally. I took her to Europe with me, and she and her girlfriend, they took care of their trip, and they had a wonderful month in England and France, and, you know, all over Europe, Italy. So it was great to be able to give her gifts, both monetarily, but also emotionally and spiritually. To see her drift away as she did, I had to put her in care. She had dementia, and it became very severe. The last 3 years of her life, she didn't speak, or she couldn't communicate, and really in any way. She couldn't walk, and you know, she had to be taken to the, you know, for everything that you have to care for them, to bathe and go to the bathroom. And watching someone you love and care about, who's so vibrant, and seeing them disappear is very painful. I was her only living relative.
Wow.
As she only had me. I have no full brothers and sisters. It was very, very, very painful. And as a result, I've done some fundraising and charity work and spoken with the Alzheimer's Association of America, both of the large Alzheimer's organizations, and, you know, we're facing a major crisis. So I try to do as much as I can. I've done a couple of PSAs for specific markets, and I hope that, you know, those of us who are the baby boomers, certainly, you know, the oldest ones now are, I think, 69, 70, 69, I think. So as our largest segment of our population in the United States is our baby boomers, we have a major problem on our hand, and I'm just trying to do my best to make people aware that we need care, we need caregivers, we need facilities, etc. So it's touched me in a very deep way, and I love and cherish my mom. So with that, I will say thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate your time.
Oh no, I appreciate the time, and you know, your mom was a beautiful lady. She's and I'm sure she's looking down and having very proud of you for everything you've done. So
thank you. I appreciate your understanding and your compassion for it. So I look forward to reading your piece.
All right, excellent. I'll make sure that I get it off to you. We got a quick turnaround for it, but a lot of people
are
very
okay.
Excited that we're going to be speaking to you. So
okay, great. God bless you, man.
God bless you too, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye.